What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's Issues is the name of this show, and it's Thursday, November the 16th, 2023. Again, we appreciate you. Joining me in studio is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
And Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
And let's see, Monica Cole from 1 Million Moms will be along in just a few minutes. She has a petition that's going viral, so to speak. 1 Million Moms is a ministry under our umbrella here, which engage ladies, women, moms in activism having to do with issues that relate to influencing children primarily. So we're going to, that is the left's ideas at influencing children through the media. And she has a warning about the upcoming Thanksgiving Day parade, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, the great American tradition. Well, get ready, because this year they're going to try to, they got some stuff in store that you don't want your children exposed to.
Right.
So that's, we're going to talk to Monica about that in just a few moments. Anything you guys want to say or share before we ask Chris to introduce us to the first pressing news story?
No, I'm ready to roll. Oh, I do want to let our listeners know that at the bottom of the hour, we will have discussing with a representative from Samaritan's Purse about Operation Christmas Child, the shoebox.
Okay.
The ministry outlet that they have going that's helped.
Program sounds really boring.
It
You're
going
to have to come up with something
else. It's a campaign.
A campaign.
Christmas campaign.
Christmas shoebox campaign. Extravaganza.
Yes. Outreach. There you go. The shoebox.
I think it's outreach. It's an outreach that is also an extravaganza.
Extravaganza. That makes it sound like you're going shopping, on Black Friday.
Okay.
It's an extravaganza. I don't know. Anyway, outreach extravaganza program campaign.
Right.
Our folks know what we're talking about.
All right. So we'll talk to them about that. I want to know how many millions of these shoeboxes have been distributed.
Over whatever it is, 25 years or something?
Millions.
Yeah, 30. Mm. All right. Chris, what's leading the news this morning?
At least six police officers in Washington, D.C. were injured last night in a mostly violent protest outside DNC headquarters there in Washington, D.C.
What's a DNC headquarters?
Mostly violent protest.
You've been waiting to say that. We're talking about the Democrat National Committee's
headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this doesn't involve Richard Nixon at all.
It does not. But a lot of people that are calling for what they're saying a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas showed up there last night to demand Democrats and other legislators do something to get a ceasefire. When police showed up for crowd control, that's when protesters there decided to have a confrontation with various police officers. It was difficult to get some audio here due to language, but I have just about 12 seconds just to kind of bring people up to speed if you're not familiar with the scene that I'm describing here. Clip one. So again.
Okay. What you got in Washington, D.C. last night was several hundred people. These, if you look at them, they look like the same bunch during the BLM riots and Antifa. Antifa riots. You want to know, well, why are they at the Democrat National Committee headquarters? Because they are angry with Biden, who's a Democrat, President Biden, and they're angry at the Democrat Schumer, for example, the head of the Senate, the Democrat, those who support Israel. That's what they're angry about. That's what they're protesting. And they're protesting, they were trying to burst into the Democrat National Committee headquarters. I don't know what they were going to do when they got there, when they got inside, but that's what the police were trying to stop.
Yes.
And the police were confronting them, had to arrest some. Six police officers, they say, were injured.
Yes.
In this. Now, contrast these few hundred people with the 300,000 plus, they say, that showed up at the pro-Israel rally
yes.
2 days ago in Washington, D.C. 2 days ago? Is that right?
It was.
In Washington, D.C., with no reported incidents of violence.
That's right.
Okay? And you say, so I would ask you, Ed, why the contrast?
Well, first of all, thanks to Chris for that audio, which had to have a lot of things edited out. That wasn't easy. Sounded to me kind of like an extravaganza.
Yeah, it did.
Okay,
a far left violent extravaganza.
And I'll tell you what, trying to break into the DNC kind of sounds like an insurrection to me. All right. Anyway, all that kind of tongue-in-cheek stuff aside, here's the difference between the group that showed up in favor of Israel and this group, which I'm guessing probably does include a lot of the same people who are at the BLM protests and the Antifa riots, because I think these kinds of people are professionals. They are professional rioters. You remember in ancient Israel, in ancient Israel, 2000 years ago, if you had a funeral, you rented mourners. They did. They rented mourners. And the more mourners you had when you had a family member die, the bigger impression you made. And that's what these people are, I believe. They are rented. It's like rent-a-cops, okay?
Yeah.
You make fun of that. They're rent-a-rioters. It's hard to say that.
Yeah.
And the proof of that is the very fact that they were at the DNC indicates that all they wanted to do was riot, because there's nothing the DNC can do.
This is after hours, too. Closed.
Yeah. I mean, what is the DNC supposed to do? This is Israel taking care of its business against a group, Hamas, that attacked them. Yeah. What's the Democratic National Committee supposed to do? So all they wanted to do is destroy stuff, which is what we saw in the summer
anarchists.
Of 2020. Yeah.
Also, these rioters last night, they don't have jobs, I don't think.
That's evidently. Why I say they're professional rioters.
Right. With I remember seeing a funny, it was dark humor, sort of. Anyway, this was a funny, back during the BLM and the Antifa riots.
Right.
When was that,
2020? Summer of 2020.
2020. Anyway, I remember seeing something happened, and they said, Republicans, we need to riot. We need to riot because look what the left does. And they said, okay, we're going to riot tomorrow at 3 o'clock at so-and-so, and Bill's bringing the drinks.
Right.
And and then another person said, I'm ready to riot, but I can only stay 30 minutes because I got to pick up the kids from school.
Exactly.
But,
right.
But
they're doing working stuff and family stuff.
Right.
Unlike these.
It is your full-time job, according to Abe.
Right.
Anyway, the other one said, we need some rider clothes because all I got is khakis, and I got to go buy the cleaners at 2:30. I just don't know if I can make it or not. Anyway.
But that's the truth. These people who show up all over the country, my belief is, I haven't done I'm sure there's a way to try to follow the
all
money.
All you have to do is look at them, man.
Funded. Yeah, or
the
other lefties.
Yeah. Anyway, It's not funny what happened last night. These people are violent. Thank goodness there's not very many of them. And now they're attacking the Democrats more than the Republicans because of the, I guess you got Schumer, who's a Jew.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Right. However, you mentioned Schumer.
Yeah.
We've got some audio of Schumer, who was asked about this riot last night. I want you to listen to what he had to say. Cut number three.
I wondered if I could get your reaction to what we saw happening at the DNC this evening with protesters.
Yeah, I haven't really seen it because I've been so busy with keeping the government open and getting NDAA done. So I'll have to comment tomorrow. Yes.
But just to follow up on that, 6 U.S. Capitol Police officers were injured this evening.
I'm not going to comment until I see the details.
Violence?
You can't comment on...
No. On riots?
No, Capitol Police officers?
Schumer just did a Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. See nothing, I know nothing.
I see.
So he's going to comment tomorrow, you said?
Yeah. Don't hold your breath on that one.
Right.
Listen, on a slightly more serious note, 6 Capitol Police officers were injured.
Yeah.
Going back to January 6th, there are people being sentenced to years in prison for doing that. For injuring
Capitol Police officers?
Yes.
That's a very good point. We'll see what happens with these people. How many were arrested, do we know?
One arrest.
6 cops injured, 1 arrest.
Yes.
So
I have not seen the footage of the
You like Schumer.
Rioting. And so I still will comment.
Tomorrow?
No, I'll comment right now.
Okay.
Unlike Senator Schumer. Okay, I've not seen. So, how did these 6 police officers get hurt? Just trying to keep people from getting in.
You need to go watch the video. It takes you about a minute. Mm-hmm. But it's these. They look like they're about all dressed in black. Mm-hmm. They
faces covered.
Some of them. But they're like at the building of the DNC at the entry doors, and they're trying to. Well, how would you describe it? They're trying to smash their way in.
Yeah, it looks like if you were trying to storm a building, this is what it would look like.
I personally could not storm a building, just me. But
the cops
police
are trying to stop them.
Stop them from doing that.
They're vandalizing the building.
I'm surprised I'm going to have to watch the video. It's only 60 seconds long.
Viewer discretion is advised.
May not be able to answer my question, but I don't know why they didn't have enough police to start hauling away. I've seen pictures. Yeah. I've not seen the videos. I want to make that clear. I thought I saw pictures of them arresting people, but I don't know why.
More than one,
but I don't know why only one person was.
I have shared a link. It's an ABC story to Fred's point that
did you share
one
it?
Person. I do. I'm a sharing person.
Okay, you shared it.
When you have a PhD in doom and gloom, you find ways to be positive.
Okay. So have we posted anything? Where'd you get that story?
As far as the one arrest? From ABC.
Okay.
And I just shared the link.
All right. So that's what happened last night in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, you have the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade coming up, which is an American tradition that we've all enjoyed, I think, over the decades. Well, this next Thursday, a week from today mm-hmm. will be the annual Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. Monica Cole is in studio with us. She's director of 1 Million Moms, which is under the umbrella here of American Family Association. Monica, first of all, what's the mission of 1 Million Moms? They don't want to talk about this Thanksgiving Day parade.
Well, 1 Million Moms, what we do is we alert parents of inappropriate content, whether it's on television, in storefront windows, in the movies, you name it, anything that's going to be exploiting our children to inappropriate content. We alert them primarily in the media, and we allow a tool with our website, 1millionmoms.com, where they can take action and let their voice be heard there.
You have a Facebook page, which is very popular, and a website. Give both of those.
Yes, at 1millionmoms.com, and then you can go from there to our Facebook page, or just type in 1 million moms on Facebook. Sometimes they hide it, but you can go through our website to get there.
Okay, what about the this Thanksgiving Day Macy's Parade petition that you put out has gone viral now because I saw stories even on international news.
Yes.
About it. So tell us what are you warning about?
We're warning parents to let them know that there's going to be not one but two binary actors that are going to be performing in Broadway show type performances during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And both of these non-binary actors.
What does non-binary mean for the average person?
They are born biologically a male, but they perform and dress up as
they're
female.
Drag queens.
Exactly. They dress up in dresses and makeup, and they are
men
performing.
And drag is going to be a big part of the
this family tradition.
Okay, gotcha.
Right, yeah.
Gotcha.
So we're warning parents that it's not the family-friendly entertainment that we once knew. They're disguising this parade and entertainment to exploit families with the LGBTQ agenda. And we're just warning parents and then letting them know if they'd like to speak out, they can sign the petition letting Macy's know they will not be watching this year's parade.
Where do you go to do that?
At 1millionmoms.com. We have it as the top campaign currently, and there's over 31,000 signatures already, and it's steadily growing.
Yeah. This is a obvious question. What, Macy's is responsible for this?
Yes. This is
or NBC or who? What's the television network going to air it?
Well, NBC.
NBC's airing it, but Macy's the sponsor. It is their parade they put on every year, and they have for 100 years. And so it's no longer family-friendly. It's going to be on for several hours on Thanksgiving Day when everybody's going to be with family and having family time.
Yeah, people have it on the TV in the den while they're getting ready for Thanksgiving. So,
right.
And usually you don't think anything about letting your children watch that.
Right.
I mean,
there's big balloons.
Yeah, the big floats. And it's going to be on the, at least in the background, even if you're not sitting down watching, it's going to be in the background.
Right.
The children will be watching while parents are visiting or preparing lunch.
You know what
lunch.
They're going to be doing, the drag queens? Are they going to be dancing around? Or
they're Broadway-type musicals, Anne, Juliet, and the other one's Shucked. And the reason why I was talking about a transgender and non-binary extravaganza is because that usually has to do with musical performances when they exceed
right.
appropriate spending and it costs too much to this is an expensive type of entertainment if you think about it, and they're pushing this agenda and being politically correct when they should be remaining neutral and just focusing on what they always do.
This is a family show clean. Tradition and parents trust it. Macy's,
they do,
and to throw you know, drag queens in the middle of it is just very insidious.
It's not one, it's two. So even if you think you can skip one, you've got another one. You don't know when it's going to appear, and it's really hard to avoid when you're going to be as a mom. You're going to be busy.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving
Day. They're going to be promoting Broadway shows.
Yes,
that's what these
two.
Are. That's
yes.
Okay. There's two.
Anne Juliet.
Okay.
Starts with and. Anne Juliet. The other one's Shucked. And we had that on our website at 1millionmoms.com.
Okay.
And we just wanted parents to be forewarned.
1 million. Go ahead, Ed.
I just wanted to say, Monica, I am a little bit offended that you assumed that dads would not be working hard in the kitchen on Thanksgiving
they
Day.
They do. You're correct. Men do cook, and they do
I
help.
Won't. But I am saying your assumption.
You're standing up for the millions of men out there.
Who are going to be slaving over a hot turkey.
Right.
They
right.
will. You're right. Parents will be distracted, that's for sure.
I want pictures, Ed.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
You want pictures of Ed and the Lazy Boy? Is that what you want, Fred?
I just one more question. This petition has really taken off.
Yes.
You've had interviews with the mainstream media?
Newsmax this morning, and tomorrow Victory News, both televised.
So NBC didn't call you?
Of course not.
CBS didn't call you?
Of course not.
Oh.
I noticed
haven't heard a word from them.
I noticed that Daily Mail picked it up. They're,
they did in the UK. They sure
they did.
Did.
And Newsweek and some others.
I think Fox did too, didn't they?
They
Fox did. Yeah.
Yes, you alerted me of that the other day.
All right. Thanks, Monica.
Thanks
Appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
And you may not be able to stop it this time, but maybe this will be a warning, and maybe next year those who put the parade together will back off and
exactly.
turn it to a family-friendly Roots and not allow this to happen in front of children all across America. Thank you, Monica.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Monica Cole joining us. You're listening to Today's Issues. You know what, Allison, my wife and I have enjoyed after the Macy's Day Parade. I want to say the Macy's Day Parade's aired on multiple networks.
I think it has been on CBS in the past.
I think it's on CBS and NBC.
Simultaneously?
Yeah, but not the, you know, one of them will be two blocks down.
Oh,
showing,
okay.
You'll see Snoopy come by 5 minutes later on you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But I think both of them cover that parade. I don't think somebody else.
Because they can make their own commentary about the.
Right, right. So, but anyway, I think it's on NBC. Immediately following that is this dog show. What about the, you know
Best
what I'm
in show or.
It's the something, it's the National Dog Show where they. Where they parade these dogs around,
looking at
show
it.
Them off.
National Dog Show hosted by John O'Hurley on NBC.
You guys don't even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they usually feature the winner of the dog show.
The Kennel Club of Philadelphia.
It's the Kennel Club of Philadelphia, but it's there. They'll show all kind of different dog breeds.
Is it the competition?
Pretty
that
interesting.
They do?
Yeah, competition. No, they're not doing the dog Olympics or nothing, but. You know,
well,
they're not dogs out there swimming against each other. I'm talking about they just parade around and look pretty.
I think I have seen some of those. I really like the synchronized dog walking where you have like the dachshunds walking and then they'll spin simultaneously.
Right
and,
yeah. Dachshunds are winter dogs for those that might be more familiar with that term.
I tell you, we have a Maltese. Allison and I have a Maltese about 11 pounds. But we keep the Maltese hair short. But these Maltese that are in competition like this,
right?
They have like 2 feet of hair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, reaches right down to the ground, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I'm thinking, who does this? You have to keep that groomed every day.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, well, I'm sure these dogs are very pampered.
They always bring out that one dog that looks like a mop. That's just like really long haired, like gray dreadlock type hair strands. It's just really, it looks like a mop.
Yeah.
I don't know what breed it is, but.
Anyway, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying?
On Super Bowl Sunday, they have all day long that it's just cameras on puppies. You
ever seen
this? Mm-hmm. The puppy bowl. And the puppies are just running around and playing with each
other.
On TV?
Yeah.
On TV.
Animal Planet.
It's like Animal Planet or
something. I think one year they had cats. Instead of dogs, but either way.
Yeah, what about if you're a cool cat?
Well, you know.
Cool cat. Why'd you look at me when you said that?
Anyway, all right, we're gonna take a break right here. Let's take our break early. Just a minute or two early. Some of those dogs, they come around and you say, That's a face only a mama could love.
I think bulldogs are just one of the ugliest dogs.
Choose your words cautiously,
Ed. Do you have a bulldog?
No, but dogs. I am one.
I'm not talking about the football team.
Okay, you're talking about bulldogs in actuality.
Yeah, when you say only a face.
You're saying bulldogs are dog ugly?
Yeah, I think so.
And by that, we mean dog. Yeah,
dog.
Ed, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. That's not what you just said.
We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on AFR. Stay with me.
Why is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills, where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. If you're like most of us, you're paying way too much for healthcare. That's why I want to tell you about a ministry that has been meeting the healthcare needs of hundreds and thousands of Christians, and that's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is cost-sharing made easy. For over 40 years, this unique model has allowed believers to choose their own doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods, since they are not insurance, but a faith-based alternative to insurance. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. It all starts with a visit to chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR. Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving health share ministry serving all 50 states. Share the good news with a friend, too. chministries.com/AFR. Make the switch today with anytime enrollment.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on this Thursday, November the 16th. Tim, Ed, Fred, and Chris. If you want to be on, if you want to be a, send your resume in, or be a co-host on this show, you must have a one-syllable name. We don't even consider two- and three-syllable names.
Right.
For this show. And you call that name discrimination if you want to.
That's fine.
But that's
we're okay with
that's
it.
That's what we are.
Right. Right.
Simple man.
Now, I will say this. Your Christian name could be multiple syllables, but you had better have a one-syllable version.
Yes.
Okay, so my name is Edward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm Timothy.
You're Timothy. So you
Frederick.
Better have a one-syllable nickname.
Right, you better be able to reduce it.
Yes.
Yes.
To simplify it here.
Call us small-minded, that's okay. Narrow-minded, fine. But multiple syllables is too much of a strain for our brains.
Strain for your brains.
Yes.
Yeah. We're like a basket that. Of one syllables.
Okay, so well, we have a guest now. Ed, why don't you introduce her?
Absolutely. Want to welcome Dania Andreos from Operation Christmas Child, being half Greek. That sounds like a Greek name to me. But Dania, welcome to Today's Issues.
Thanks for having me.
So we have been, for I don't know, a week and a half, we've been telling our listeners, not just on this show, but across the network, about Operation Christmas Child. I'm guessing most of our listeners have heard of it. Maybe their churches participate in it. But there may be some who have heard about it, been hearing about it for the first time. Tell our listeners about Operation Christmas Child, what it's about, what it's intended to do.
Yeah, Operation Christmas Child is a project of Samaritan's First, and their goal is to send gift-filled shoeboxes to children over 170 countries, especially those that live in disaster and war, to show them God's love in a tangible way.
So, Dania, this is Tim. What's your relationship with Operation Christmas Child? What does it go back to?
Well, I'm just one out of 209 million children that received an Operation Christmas Child shoebox since 1993, and I'm just excited to be here and share with you how that impacted my life.
Where?
In the Middle East.
Okay.
In a sensitive country in the Middle East.
In a country in the middle East, you received one of these shoeboxes?
That's correct, yes.
Yes, and now how did that impact your life?
So So growing up in the Middle East, my family faced two major challenges. The first challenge was persecution. As Christians, we were faced with a lot of persecution and death threats because we followed Jesus and we were sharing our faith with the people around us. And I just remember even in school, I was being bullied because I was the only follower of Jesus in my entire school. Now, the second challenge was poverty. My dad worked to provide for my family really, really hard, but it was difficult to even get basic necessities such as school supplies and hygiene items and even our daily food. I remember sometimes my mom bringing for us raw onion and bread to eat because that's all we could put before us on the table. But because of these circumstances, I did not receive a gift ever, not on my birthday or even on Christmas. But my mom always asked me to pray for things that I needed and even wanted. And so as a little girl, I prayed for God to send me my very own toys, while at the same time, there was another need that my family could not afford that we brought to God. And that need was to have a radio. I know you'd appreciate that so much because we wanted to listen to a Christian radio station in the part of the world where Christian resources were very limited. And so as we were praying and waiting one very special day, we went to church gathering, and I heard that I was going to receive a gift for the very first time in my life. I was so excited. When I opened my shoebox and found school supplies, hygiene items, beautiful toys like a Beanie Baby and a Slinky, I was overjoyed. But the biggest surprise was pulling from the shoebox gift a mini radio.
Wow.
When was this? What year was this?
It was around 1997, 1998.
That gives me chills.
Yeah, a mini little radio? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, my whole family were in shock that out of millions of children and boxes that go to over 160 countries, God orchestrated for that one to come just to my family.
Talking to Danye. Is that how you pronounce it?
Danye Andreas.
Are you a U.S. citizen now?
I am. I am, and I'm grateful to be on this side and to be serving Jesus on this side and with Operation Christmas Child.
Well, amen. Ed, do you want to
first of all, thank you for your testimony of God's faithfulness and his love for you. Thank you for continuing to serve the Lord. Thank you for the inspiration of your family, standing firm and faithful to Jesus through persecution. Please let our listeners know what they can do to help. If there's still time for them to get a shoebox together, where to go to get information about what to put in it, please go ahead and let our listeners know.
Yes, so this week is National Collection Week. We are collecting shoeboxes until November 20th. And anyone can pack a shoebox. You can take a regular-sized shoebox and fill it with school supplies, hygiene items, and toys. And there's a list of what you can put and you cannot put. That's on our website, which is SamaritansFirst.org/OCC. And you can have an idea of how to pack your shoebox, and you can also know where to drop it off by putting your zip code in it with you.
Yeah. Kind of fading out on us. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, so did I hear you right? You said Slinky?
Yeah, you could put a Slinky there. I mean, it was one of my favorites.
In the 90s?
Yeah, you can still buy them.
They were plastic in my day. Yeah, back in the 90s.
Yeah. Man.
All right, well, anyway. All right, thank you. We're kind of losing your signal. Appreciate it very much. And Andreas?
Danye Andreas.
Yeah, Danye. And have a great day. And thanks for being
thanks
on with
having,
us.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
She kind of did fade out there a little bit at the end, so let me give the website again.
The Slinky Effect.
The Slinky Effect, yes. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That's the website to go for more information, where you can drop off your shoebox. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. A lot of churches do the collection part for you, maybe your church is doing that as well. But that was a wonderful
testimony. About, we've been involved, AFR has been involved with this campaign for a number of years now. Mm-hmm. That's about the second or third time that we've heard a testimony of one of these kids getting a radio and what it meant for their family. Hearing the gospel for the first time, and then the impact that that would have on communities. So radio is such a powerful medium. Mm-hmm. It can reach into areas that otherwise, you know, don't have missionaries, all of those sorts of things. Living in a restricted country, she's from the Middle East somewhere. And I understand why she wouldn't name the country. She may have relatives that are still there. But the power of radio... And it is one of the items that you can put in the box is one of these small transistor radios.
Where do you get those?
Small transistor radios. Yeah. You can find them.
Are they at like Walmart or something?
Amazon or something like that. You can get them.
Garage sale.
Yeah. Garage sale. Yes.
You find them.
You can but you can get them and it's a toy.
Yeah.
But when the family gets it, I mean, you can dial in as she did. There are Christian radio stations here and there. Yeah. Trans World Radio
Now with the app, you can get
on a phone.
Yeah. Like American Family Radio anywhere, but you got to have a cell phone. The other thing I noticed she mentioned, and as you referred to this part of her talk, Fred, she's from she's from a Muslim country. Mm. And they don't, a lot of Muslim countries don't allow freedom of worship.
That's right.
And freedom for Christians to proselytize. Mm-hmm. And that's what she was talking about.
Can't even worship in a group of Christians in private.
Until you've lived under that kind of, and that's the way it is probably in two-thirds of the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not two-thirds of the world are Islamic countries, but two-thirds of the world are either communist, totalitarian, like China.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or they are Muslim countries that don't allow for any kind of other worship. So the religious freedom we experience here in America that we take for granted is non-existent in, I say, two-thirds of the world. I'm just guessing, maybe half the world. You cannot worship freely.
Right.
You know. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program on the American Family Radio Network. Get your shoeboxes done and get them in because they got to have time to take them around the world. I would say there are many churches, many, many churches. They're probably everybody listening to us knows their own church does it.
Right.
Or they know a church that does it, does the Cooperation Christmas Child Shoebox Campaign, and can get the shoe. As you say, Ed, a lot of churches do their – to pick up, all you got to do is take it to the church.
Take it to the church, and then they take it to the more centralized collection spot. And I think that the number of churches is only going to grow because it's an easy and simple way to share the love of Jesus with people all over the world.
Right.
And God has a way, like in this case with Dania Andreos, of getting the right shoebox to the right person. So,
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred and Chris. Chris, next story.
Well, before I call for it, do we have that clip that we added after the show began? Okay. I have some alarming information to share here from the FBI director, Christopher Wray. He's been appearing before lawmakers for a couple of weeks now talking about national security concerns, especially with the war going on between Israel and Hamas. And Israel, of course, is retaliating for that terrorist attack committed by Hamas back on October 7th this year. FBI Director Wray has been fielding questions from various lawmakers, Democrats and Republicans, as to whether or not we might be facing terrorist attacks or threats here in the United States of America. And FBI Director Christopher Wray did say we are facing threats. We've had threats from various parts of the country. And one of the issues that people are concerned about is the amount of people pouring over the southern border and whether or not some of these people coming here illegally are not Hispanic, but in fact Middle Eastern men that are coming here to do harm to the USA. And I've got some audio here of FBI Director Christopher Wray talking about this very issue. clip 14.
Well, certainly the group of people that you're talking about are a source of great concern for us. That's why we're aggressively using all 56 of our joint terrorism task forces.
And there's really no way for you to guarantee that Hamas isn't in those.
Well, as you say, there's the unknown unknown and the known unknown.
Right.
But what I can tell you is that our 56 joint terrorism task forces are working their tails off to make sure that they suss out and identify potential terrorist suspects, whether they're on the watch list or not.
You think that number, that increased number, increases the threat to the American citizens?
I think any time you have a group of people in the United States that we don't know nearly enough about, that is a source of concern for us.
That's FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the initial, what they was referring to was the question about the gotaways.
What is that?
The gotaways are those who have come into this country who have not come through one of our Border Patrol agents. So not only are the ones going through the Border Patrol agents.
Most of them just, as I understand it, just walk up and say, I want to have asylum.
Yeah, a lot of them do.
I need some food and shelter and put me on a bus somewhere.
But
there is those who don't want to go through that process.
That's right. There's also the estimate, and they have a percentage they believe, are just coming across the border. They know they're coming across, but they're not registering with everybody. And that was the kind of crux of the question there.
Yeah.
There's a belief, and Christopher Wray, the FBI director, believes there are Hamas representatives in this country right now.
Let me ask you this, Ed. The FBI director. Wouldn't you assume that the United States is always going to be a potential target of terrorist activity every day, all day, for the rest of our existence? I mean, what's the point of asking him this question?
Well, I think the question was twofold. First of all, Christopher Wray, we mean the FBI, are you aware of current threats? And then second of all, is that threat level increasing because of the openness of the border? So to your point, absolutely. As long as there are people out there, terrorist organizations being funded by Iran, they're probably the most important funder, most influential sponsor of terrorism in the world. They consider us the great Satan, okay, and Israel as the little Satan. As long as that attitude exists in the Muslim community, yes, we're going to have people in our country who want to harm us. The question is, how many of them are there? Where are they? What are they planning to do?
The FBI director is going to tell you that?
And well, that's why he said, I think there's the unknown unknown and the known unknown. So I guess what he means by that is there are unknown threats out there that the FBI does not know about, and there are threats out there that the FBI does know about, but the rest of us don't.
You know what the real question was right there? No, Tim. What was it?
What was it, Tim?
A real question being asked right there. Do you think President Biden letting millions and millions and millions of people into the country and we don't know who they are, where they're going, and what they're about, do you think that increases the likelihood that we'll be a terrorist attack in the U.S., yes or no? Hmm. And if he could have been honest and answered the question, maybe he did. He would have said, yes, absolutely. Now, that's just common sense.
Of course.
That's all that needed to be asked. Okay, and then you say next question.
Well, let me give you an example of exactly the point you're making here. When during the summer, we had some time here in Mississippi where the weather was very pleasant, or when the weather turned. I forget, there's the end of August or September or whatever. And so we didn't have the air conditioner on. My wife had the front door open. I said, no, we're not doing that unless you want to kill a snake that comes in here. Okay, that's what I told her. I said, we got to get something else. You know,
can't just leave the door wide open, even if the weather's nice.
Even if the weather's nice, because we live out in the country and we do have snakes on our property. I like them. They kill rats and stuff like that. But I don't want them coming inside. And to me, that's what you just said. You got the front door wide open on our southern border.
Right.
Guess what? you're not just letting in a nice breeze. You've got potential predators coming into our country. And we know this because some of those predators, they're not terrorists. They're criminals. They're sex traffickers. They're, you know, drug mules or whatever. But in terms of terrorists, you leave that front door wide open, absolutely, snakes will come in.
I do want to say, for people that want more information on what FBI Director Ray talked about, I've shared three things on the Today's Issues Facebook page: an ABC story about what he talked about, a Fox story on the gotaway specifically, and if you really want to spend a few hours watching it, the C-SPAN hearing featuring FBI Director Ray and Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas of Homeland Security. That's on the Facebook page as well.
But you never when I guess when they ask the FBI director Congress questions about heightened levels of threat, I'm just thinking to myself, I don't want to ever hear an FBI director go, no, we're kind of taking it easy right now because threat level's down, and I've told guys just take off a few days and go to the beach with their family and come back when the threat level's, when we raise the threat level. So is that to answer your question, Mr. Congressman?
Listen,
who answers questions like that?
I, with all the criticism we have leveled against people like Christopher Wray, others in the Justice Department, which from the top levels in the Biden administration has tried to weaponize the Justice Department, there have not been terrorist attacks that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, not on U.S. soil.
Not on U.S. soil. So the FBI, in terms of its rank and file members, appears to be doing a really good job trying to find these bad actors and keep them from harming American citizens. So we do want to give credit where credit is due.
Right. And that's kind of surprising, actually, because this is a country of 330 million people, and we're an open society, and people come and go into our country all the time from around the world, and they're even... You know, to think we've had no really major attack in a long time anywhere in the country that I can think of.
Not that we could. Now, you know, there has been some suspicion.
They thwart them that you don't know about it probably a lot of times. Don't you think?
That's what I'm guessing. So because we are hated, and we are especially hated by these Muslim terrorist groups, and because we are an open society, you think, well, there have to be terrorist cells here.
So I
don't know, Fred.
I think they can be doing other things other than violence, terrorist attacks. They can be doing things like getting on university campuses and doing propaganda work. I believe a lot of that has been going on. Also, what we have seen reports about, they can get involved with legitimate businnesses and raising money for Hamas and Hezbollah. So they can be doing that kind of thing right now. I believe a terrorist attack is coming. I don't want it, but I believe a terrorism attack is coming.
Like when?
It could happen anytime. Could happen in a month. Could happen in a year. I just believe we have been left so vulnerable by these open border. It's not just the southern border. Now we're getting reports of the increase of illegals on our northern border as well. So it's been open season since Joe Biden became president.
Ramaswamy did warn about the northern border concern in the most recent debate. We'll see whether or not that's brought back up again in December when they re-meet.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 5 minutes.
Yes, I have a story out of Loudoun County, Virginia, where a high-profile and well-funded Democratic prosecutor there in Northern Virginia, who pursued progressive reforms and drew criticism from Republicans, she conceded defeat yesterday in her re-election bid. This is a lady whose name is Buddha Bibajarab. If I said that correctly. I'll share the AP story in a moment.
Say it three times fast.
Buddha Bibajarab.
Okay. I would be careful.
Bibaraj. It may be Bibaraj. Either way, she is a Democrat. She is the prosecutor there in Loudoun County, and she conceded defeat yesterday. What's interesting, and this is kind of a David versus Goliath story here. I know that's a cliche often used in election stories, but to my point that I'm trying to make here, the Republican spent $70,000 on his campaign. She had $1.1 million plus, And he beat her.
Is she one of these Soros?
Oh, yes.
She is one of the Soros funded
ones.
Okay,
then in Loudoun County, in that's in Virginia. That's
very
northern
liberal.
Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a Democrat or Republican county?
Well, Democrats have had control.
Okay, yes. But even what the point is, she must have been, she's re-election?
Yes, she
must
was
have been so soft on crime that even the Democrats who live there said, no, we don't want that anymore.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, her most famous case, she is the one that prosecuted that dad in Loudoun County stood up to defend his daughter who was sexually assaulted by a transgender in the washroom.
So she went after him?
She went after him, and he was convicted, but he was pardoned by Governor Youngkin.
Yes, in recent weeks. Now, I've got some audio here from a guy named Jeff Katz. He's a radio personality in Richmond, Virginia, and he was talking to us, and he said that situation with the Loudoun County schools really woke people up to liberalism and leftist prosecutors. Clip 9.
As these things happened in the schools, all of a sudden people started waking up, and there were a lot of people who were absolutely outraged that the Loudoun County school system had shuffled around a boy in a skirt who had then gone on to assault sexually a couple of different girls. This prosecutor that was just defeated went and prosecuted the father of one of the victims, and that galvanized a lot of people. And even though it was a very close election, the sentiment certainly is that the Soros financed prosecutors should probably take a hike.
He also mentioned that Loudoun County elected what he described as a conservative, very pro law enforcement sheriff. So Loudoun County may be turning a corner.
Listen, some of these big cities that are ruled by liberals, the citizens are getting tired of the soft on crime approach. Remember the DA out in San Francisco was recalled or voted recalled, right?
Yep.
Remember that?
Yeah.
About a year ago. And I think it's too little too late, but I'm just saying in Oakland, California, you've got the NAACP trying to get rid of the DA there because the DA is a Soros funded liberal. So you got a historically black civil rights organization saying we got to reclaim our streets. They said we need more police and we're losing absolute control of our city. So I'm just saying to you, there are Democrats, citizens who are, like in Loudoun County, who are reacting to this let the criminals walk free sort of attitude out there. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.